Monster Energy, Welcome to Rockville returns to Metropolitan Park, April 29th and 30th, celebrating rock's greatest hits all weekend long with Def Leppard, Soundgarden, A Perfect Circle, The Offspring, and more. 2 days, over 40 bands on 3 stages. Tickets on sale now. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for tickets, info, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Aisha Tyler. Aisha's talking about her newest film, Axis. Aisha, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well, doing well. I can't complain. It's film festival week, and we're excited to see all the films here at the festival, and super excited about your film.
Thank you.
I know very little bit about it. All I've seen is just a brief synopsis and the trailer, and so I'm excited to talk with you about the film. Tell me a little bit about kind of its inception. When did the idea for this film first come to you?
Well, it was brought to me by the writer who's also the lead actor in this in the film. I was over in Ireland 3 years ago shadowing on a couple of shows where I was friendly with the people in shows, a show called Vikings and a show called Penny Dreadful, and just met a bunch of actors. And I'm quite friendly with a few Irish actors, including Stuart Townsend, because we did a series called Florentine together a few years ago. So I just was over there working and shadowing and met this actor, Emmett Hughes, and we became friendly. And then he had wanted to do a short film that he actually asked if I wanted to direct, and he ended up writing it for me, and I directed that at the end of 2014 in Ireland. And it was just a great creative experience. And then he already had been working on this feature script for a while, and he brought it to me. And I remember I was like, ugh, now we're friends, and I'm going to have to figure out a way to tell him that this script sucks, and then I'm going to have to start blocking his calls. But it was just a great script, and it was a great idea, and it was a great first film. Because it's a really unique kind of concept and a very specific idea for how to do a movie. And I just love the idea, and I thought it made perfect sense because it was such a contained approach to making a film. It made a great idea for a first movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. Without giving anything away or spoiling anything, can you give our listeners just a general synopsis of what the film's about?
Absolutely. So Axis is a thriller. A dramatic thriller about an actor, an Irish actor who actually came to America and had a lot of early success in his career, and because of his deeply self-destructive tendencies, ended up really destroying a lot of his life, his relationships with his family, his romantic relationships, and he's started to kind of rebuild his life and turn it around. And then on this one single day, as he's driving across L.A. to meet his girlfriend, his whole life starts to come crashing down around him. And it's really about him trying to hold on to the little bits of resurrection that he's been able to build for himself through these conversations with his agents and his manager and his family and his girlfriend and his friends. So it's just about a guy who's trying not to be such a fuck-up. We all have had that experience, you know, where, you know, we're just trying to be a better version of ourselves. But the most specific and unique conceit to remember is that the entire movie takes place inside a car as he's driving through L.A.
Right, which when I read the synopsis on that, I was like, man, this is awesome. I've got to see this. Like, it just seems so out of the box and so fresh, so new, you know?
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was a really cool set of problems to try to solve. You know, how do you make a drama, that, you know, with essentially one setting, how do you make that film feel dynamic and expansive and intense and engaging for 90 minutes. And, you know, I definitely think we got that done, but it was a really fun set of problems to solve when I was putting the movie together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of which, that kind of leads into my next question. What would you say, I guess, what was the filming process like for you guys? Because I know, like you said, this was a one shot, and sometimes it's, you know, really is kind of hard to, you know, to fit a story around that, so you can mm-hmm. be creative. Mm-hmm. Would you say that the filming was particularly arduous?
No, it was great. I mean, look, the first thing to know is that I only had a week to shoot this movie. I only had a week off from my other job.
Holy
so we shot man. It in 7 days. Yeah, we shot it in 7 days, which was obviously really aggressive, but also, again, a fun math problem to figure out. How do I get this done this quickly and make it meaningful and beautiful? And so what we did was, you know, we shot this, you know, driving, for people who know a little bit about filmmaking, typically with driving, you put the car on a process trailer, which allows somebody else to actually do the navigation so the actor can just focus on acting. And so we were on a process trailer. We shot, we had some scenes that kind of were outside of the car that took place in the first, that took place on the first day of shooting. And then for 6 days, we were on a process trailer. And we just had three, we were shooting three cameras all day, every day. And that allowed me over 6 days to get 18 camera angles. So it wasn't arduous. It was fast, and it was intense. But shooting that way allowed actually a lot of creative flexibility because, you know, by the end of the third day, we essentially had the entire movie in the can. And then the next 4 days were not gravy per se, but just opportunities to play creatively, to play visually, to take risks. And I would absolutely shoot a film this way again because it was, you know, when I wrapped the movie, I had something like 50 hours of footage to cut into a 90-minute film. So for 7 days of shooting, I actually had an abundant, overabundance of material to choose from.
Wow. That's actually, I know, like in filmmaking, that's always a good thing because it's like the more you have, I mean, the more you can kind of, you know, play with to adjust and to make the story, you know, what you want it to be. But for you as a creative type, as a creative individual and a creator, was it hard to cut a lot of that footage? Because I'm sure it was, you know, painful to cut a lot of it because I'm sure you got a lot of great takes and so on.
Yeah. You know, the process really in the beginning is just seeing what you have. You know, typically you know the stuff you love, but what you don't know is what maybe fell through the cracks that you didn't realize that you would love. So, you know, editing for anybody who's ever edited is essentially an organizational job. You know, putting everything where it lives, where, you know, in its place, kind of organizing scene by scene, and just making sure you've seen everything. It wasn't arduous so much because I think in the end kind of the cream rises to the top and you have a lot of clarity almost right away about what you think is the best, what serves the story best. But then, you know, after you have a first draft and kind of going back, it's more about, you know, oh, God, I love all this stuff and I can't keep it all in. And then finding little gems that kind of add to story or create moments that weren't necessarily in the script but that you've got on the day that add a lot of value and you know, kind of make the piece more beautiful, more magical, more dreamlike. So I actually really enjoy editing. It's a deep dive, and it's really exhausting. And it's, I would say, you know, I can't really do it because we're on the radio, but editing is like taking a jelly bean. You're sitting at like a giant table, and you take a jelly bean, and you move it an inch to the left, and then an inch to the right, and then a half inch to the left, and then a half inch to the right. You keep doing that over and over again until you find exactly the right spot for the jelly bean, and then you get out another jelly bean, and you have thousands of jelly beans. So it's the art of minutia, but when it starts to take shape, it gets really exciting.
Absolutely. What would you say was like your fondest memory of making this film? I know that during the production of any like a television show or a film, you know, there's rough patches, whether it be between cast and crew or, you know, or just, you know, equipment failure, so on and so forth. But there's always, whenever I talk to somebody, they always say, you know, but this was like the shining light of it all. What would you say would be the most enjoyable thing that came out of this experience for you?
Oh, I had so many. God. I really had a lot. Yeah. I really had, this is my first feature, obviously, and this is my first time working with my director of photography, Lowell Meyer, who I will work with on every film until the day I die. Because, you know, I just brought him such a difficult project. You know, we've got 7 days to do this, and it's got to be beautiful. And we shot the entire film during magic hours. So essentially, it had to be during this window, and the light had to match on every day. And it was such a hard task. And he just never, ever said that, you know, it couldn't be done. And I think on the very first day, we were trying to get this 360 shot that included that was an interior car shot that included a shot of downtown LA, and our rotating head kind of kept malfunctioning a little bit and sticking, and we kept having to reset. And then The location manager came and said, you know, you guys have to be out here, you know, now, you have to pack it up, and we didn't have the shot, and I essentially begged them to give me another, you know, half hour on this location, and they did, and I remember just getting the shot finally, and I was in one spot, and my DP was in another, operating the rotating head with, by a remote, and when we got the shot, he literally came, like, sprinting down the hill to give me a hug, and it was just, you know, his enthusiasm and working with someone who loves filmmaking as much as I do, like, that was really a contagion that just spread across the whole cast and crew. And there was just this kind of upbeat enthusiasm that pervaded the entire production. It just always felt great, you know. I mean, we definitely had time challenges, light challenges, our batteries dying, equipment failing, but we kept seeing what we were getting, and it was always really beautiful, and that kind of maintained, kept us on top, kept us high, you know, the entire time.
Absolutely. Man, that's is an amazing story.
We had a million things happen like that, but that's just one.
Yeah, yeah. When you told it so vividly, I felt like I was right there with you. That's what,
I mean, you know, I will say that, like, when they told us we had to leave and we didn't have the shot, I mean, you know, we weren't going to get to come back to that location. You know, I just said, look, there's no studio behind this. This is an independent film. I crowdfunded it. If I don't get the shot today, I don't get the shot. I can't go back and ask anybody for more money. I can't ask for another day. If you guys kick us out of here, you're killing our movie. And they were nice enough. I mean, I was literally about to go down on one knee, you know. and they were nice enough to kind of see the desperation in my eyes and give us a little bit more time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Man, Aisha, that your transparency there—it was—it was so beautiful. I just have a few more questions, but I wanted to ask. You know, this film is independent, and that really stood out to me. May I ask, what made you decide to go independent versus seeking, I guess, mainstream, I guess, backers or?
Right. Well, I think there were two reasons. One is it's a pretty unusual concept for a film, and it had an unknown in the lead. And typically when you finance these movies with studios, they want a big name, they want someone who means, you know, sales overseas, they want a star. And you know, I really wanted to make this movie the way that it was intended, and the guy that is in the lead was the writer, and you know, I wasn't going to take his movie away from him. And typically those funding schedules tend to take a long time too. They've got to have everybody sign off on it, and does foreign sales like it, and does the lady who does craft services like it, and does the guy who, you know, replaces the drinks in the lounge refrigerator like it. And I just wanted to make my movie, you know, and I wanted to make the movie that I wanted to make. And I also had very little time. Like I said, I had a week last year off. If I didn't make it during that week, I wasn't going to get to make it in 2016. I was going to have to wait another year.
Oh, geez.
And the great thing with crowdfunding is, you know, almost immediately whether you have the funding to make a film. There's a kind of a rule of thumb that if you fund at least 50% of your campaign in the first week, you'll typically fund fully. So we knew, like, we'll do this, and if in a week we're close to 50%, we're probably going to get to make our movie. So then I knew I would get to make it on my schedule. And, you know, we knew in that first week we had done pretty well, and that we were going to get to make the movie, you know, on my schedule and also on my creative terms. You know, I wasn't going to have to answer to any executives. I wasn't going to be given any studio notes, and I think it just gave me this creative flexibility and this nimbleness that I wouldn't have gotten if I tried to fund the movie with a studio.
Absolutely. What would you say is, like, the biggest misconception with, you know, independent filmmaking versus, you know, big budget, you know, blockbusters? I know people see that you're attached to the film, and they're like, oh, wow, that, you know, she must have, you know, gotten $1 million budget to do this or whatever. Would you say, is that one of the biggest misconceptions as a filmmaker?
Well, I imagine people will look at this film and think that, but, you know, just for the record, we made it in 7 days for $200,000. So, you know, I think the biggest misconception is that, you know, everybody on the movie made $1 million and we were all riding around in limousines, but, you know, this was 100% a labor of love. We didn't have trailers. We didn't even have a real location. You know, we kind of loaded everything up in a parking lot every day and then drove our little caravan of equipment, you know, through L.A. And we would pull over 6 hours into our day and eat lunch on a lawn in an industrial park, you know. it was absolutely a guerrilla operation, top to bottom. And everybody worked for less than they typically made, and all the actors worked for ultra low budget scale, which is, you know, a couple hundred bucks. And they just did it because they, you know, they wanted to be a part of something interesting. I think the biggest misconception about filmmaking generally is that, you know, everyone's kind of showing up and having, you know, caviar for lunch and getting driven place to place and, you know what I mean, having their glasses wiped for them. You know, for me, I really liked operating at this level, and I think maybe the biggest misconception is that you can't make a movie for, you know, under $1 million. The films cost millions and millions of dollars to make.
Right.
They don't, you know, and they don't have to. And the flexibility and the creative aggression that I was able to make this film with were in direct correlation to the fact that I made it for so little money. I just had a muscularity and a flexibility that I couldn't have gotten at a higher price. And there's a really, I try to tell this story really quickly, and I'm probably going to get it wrong. It's real. It's not apocryphal, but Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed Men in Black, first two Men in Black movies, talks about, you know, in the first one, that the first one was a relatively low budget film for a studio film. I think it might have been $10 or $20 million, something like that. And he kind of had this comparative freedom to make that film. No one really expected much out of it. And then, you know, the second one was like $100 million movie. And it was just a nightmare. You know what I mean? With just like a million people in seats walking around, commenting on everything, criticizing everything, changing everything constantly. And he has some kind of a cardiac episode on set. And he's in the back of the ambulance, you know, staring at the ceiling on the way to the hospital. And he thinks, you know, God, I want to live. I want to see my children grow up. I want to, you know, be at my children's weddings. I want to meet my grandkids. You know, he's like, I want to live. But if I die, I don't have to finish this fucking picture.
What in the world?
And he said there was a moment where, like, either one was attractive, you know. So, you know, I think people think about these big budget movies as being these kind of, like, Hollywood operations where everyone's just, you know, kind of eating lobster at lunchtime and having a great time. You know, there's a commercial pressure on those films to appeal to everyone and therefore be interesting to no one. And I definitely made a movie that I think is dynamic and intense and possibly polarizing. Some people will love it. Some people will find it enervating. But it's definitely my film, and I think it's artistically specific, and that's what I really care about as a filmmaker.
Absolutely, absolutely. The film is screening here at the Nashville Film Festival this week, tomorrow, Wednesday at noon, and then Friday night it'll be airing at 7 with the Q&A after. Are there any plans to release the film on VOD or in select theaters?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, we've already been approached by some distributors, but I'm really just trying to enjoy the film festival experience. This is my first feature. You know, you labor over something for so long. What you really want to do is experience it with audiences. So, you know, it's been so fun to travel. This is going to be the third festival it's been in. It premiered at Sarasota Film Festival, and then it just has West Coast premiere at the Newport Beach Film Festival. And the really enjoyable experience for me has been watching it with audiences and then talking with them about it afterwards, because the movie's very layered, it's very twisty, and sort of to talk to people afterwards about their experience with the film has been the most enjoyable part of the process so far. So right now I'm just having fun going around to festivals and getting to immerse myself in the experience of being a filmmaker. And then once we've gone through the festival circuit, we'll find a home for the film and release it, you know, probably later in 2017. But what was exciting is I already had some people approach us about distribution and just try to find the best deal for the movie and the way to get it seen by the most people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just have two more questions, but I would say that just talking with you that you're very pleased with the work that you've done in this film. Are there plans to do another one? Because I know that this was like your first feature. Would you say that you've caught the bug and will do more?
Oh, yeah. Well, I directed 7 shorts before I did this, so this was always my end game. And it's been such a transformational experience for me personally. I love it so much. I'm writing something. A writer that I collaborate with frequently is in the middle of 2 scripts for me that I'm developing with him. And yeah, I'm hoping to actually direct something before the end of this year, latest early 2018.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because everything that you put your hands to just is gold. And
oh, you're so kind.
And that leads to my last and final question. You know, Aisha, you're such an inspiration for a lot of people. You know, you've overcome so much. You know, you're an African-American woman. And, you know, in Hollywood, you know, just from what I've read and what I've seen, it's tough for women, you know, and but you balance it so well. You wear so many hats as an actress, producer, director, you know, writer. What would you say is the biggest takeaway, though, that you want people to get from your work? I know that, you know, you're out here, you're inspiring a whole new generation of thinkers and doers with the work that you're doing. But you yourself, if I could ask you, what would you say is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from everything that you've given to us in the world?
Well, that's very kind that you said. Thank you. I mean, you know what I would just tell people? I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Self-Inflicted Wounds, and it's a book about kind of the power, the transformational power of failure, that people don't do what they dream about because they're afraid of failing. And the book is essentially about how failure is unavoidable, and it's the only time that you learn. And if you avoid failure, then you're avoiding success, because success is not the absence of failure, but persistence through failure. So if I could give people any takeaway from anything that I've done, it's just to be brave. Be as brave as you possibly can be, because what you want is on the other side of fear and on the other side of potentially some pain and some sacrifice, but you can't get there. You can't get there from here. You've got to go straight through it. You know, the world is full of assholes, and that's not an excuse to get out there and do your thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, you definitely hit on some things. It's just getting through it, just going through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just pushing through it. And, you know, the thing that you want is on the other side of, you know, intense discomfort, but you literally cannot get what you want without experiencing that discomfort. So you might as well just embrace it. And then hopefully, you know, if you do fail spectacularly, you get back up again, you keep going, and then you've got some awesome story to tell your friends.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're right about that.
Well, it's so nice talking with you. I have to run
yeah,
the set now.
Likewise. Yeah, this was awesome. I was so nervous, but you really put me at ease. I feel like I've done a million of these interviews, you were really, really putting me at ease, and I like what you said about bravery and just pushing through things, because it's tough out here, but, you know, the only way to get through it is just to do it.
Just keep going. Exactly. Well, it's so nice talking with you, Walter. Have a great
likewise.
Day, and I'll see you at the festival.
I'll be there.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Guys, that was Aisha Tyler. She's speaking on her newest film, Access. Make sure to check out the link to her website. We'll put it in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by going to the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Go to the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Aisha. We're also available in the Google Play Store. If you've got an Android device, listen to us on Google Play, like all to Google Play Music. Search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You can listen to this show. You can subscribe, all free of charge. Lastly, we're available on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, go ahead and go to the Roku channel store. Search for our name. And once you go do that, just download the app. You can download the app and you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.